Now, shall we begin?
They can't kick you off the force, Frank. It's just not fair.
I know, Ed. Life isn't always fair. Just think, the next time I shoot someone, I could be arrested.
The next time former Adams County Sheriff Brian Wood kills somebody, and this is something that will in all probability happen, he may not be clothed in qualified immunity. Then again, he might. At present, we don't know whether Mr. Wood is going to find something in the productive sector to do, or if he's going to become a gypsy cop, that is to say, someone who still has his law enforcement certification and ends up taking the rat line to another state where he is employed as an instrument of coercion in a different jurisdiction. Brian Wood's last day of employment with Adams County Sheriff's Office was Wednesday, August 31st, according to Adams County Clerk Sherry Ward, reported the Idaho Statesman yesterday, that is September 2nd. County representatives would not say if Wood resigned or was terminated. He, of course, should have been prosecuted for the death by criminal homicide of rancher Jack Yantis last November. Cody Rowland, the other sheriff's deputy who was involved in that killing, reportedly has not been employed by the Adams County Sheriff's Office for a number of months, notwithstanding the fact that Sheriff Zolman just a few weeks ago said that both of them were still on staff. The risk management carrier for Adams County said that they were both receiving paychecks as late as late July or early August. So his status is ambiguous. Both of them, however, should have been prosecuted for what could be construed as second-degree murder and at very least should be considered manslaughter. Your inquiry concerning why Mr. Wood is no longer employed at Adams County is outside the parameters of the public records law, said Jim Davis, a Boise attorney representing Adams County. Decades ago, it used to be said, in the despairing words of a class warrior, that the rich are different from us. They have money. I remember a throwaway line in the film The Dark Knight Rises, in which Selina Kyle, after Bruce Wayne, through a couple of rather implausible plot complications, had been made destitute, said, "The rich don't even go broke like the rest of us do." When people in the productive sector lose a job, generally speaking, they're not treated with the deference that these two killers are being treated, because they had been part of the state's punitive priesthood. They'd been part of the elite. As a matter of fact, they had been operatives of the most important part of the elite. They were part of that caste of people whose relationship to the state is like that of the edge to the blade. They're Praetorians. They're part of that element of the government's apparatus that has to be deferred to and whose sensibilities must be protected. Wood has not responded to a request for comment. Wood had been on paid administrative leave, that is to say, a paid vacation, since November 1st of 2015, the day he and Deputy Cody Rowland shot and killed council rancher Jack Yantis. They shot Yantis on the highway next to his ranch as Yantis held a rifle he had brought to euthanize a bull that had been struck by a car. Now, Yantis had gone to the scene because he had been summoned there by the sheriff's dispatcher, because Wood and Rowland, who were supposedly employed to confront certain risks involving the application of force, didn't have the necessary skill to put down this bull that had been struck by a vehicle. This was a task that was beyond their modest competence, so they called Jack Yantis, the owner of the bull, to have him do this dangerous task that they could not perform. They effectively deputized him, in other words. When he showed up on the scene, within a few minutes he was dead, and immediately thereafter his traumatized wife was thrown to the ground and handcuffed, and she suffered a heart attack. Prosecutors said last month that there was insufficient evidence to charge them. There was actually a wealth of evidence to indict them. If they had been common citizens rather than members of the state's killer elite, they would have been indicted within a week of that shooting, in all probability. The Statesman reported August 17th that a group seeking justice for Yantis' family had learned that neither deputy would return to their jobs. Wood joined Adams County as a part-time Marine deputy in June 2013. He became a full-time patrol deputy that September. Before his departure, he was paid $17.45 hourly. Rowland resigned November 30th, 2015 to take a seasonal job. That's part of the story. Sheriff Zolman said that he returned thereafter as late as late July, early August, as I pointed out previously. Rowland was still receiving a paycheck from Adams County, whether or not he was considered a deputy at the time. One of the reasons I foretell that Brian Wood will become a gypsy cop is because he had been a gypsy cop at the time that he was hired by Adams County. He had been a police officer in McCall, and while in McCall, he was involved in a traffic stop that degenerated into an outright assault on an elderly man who had recently undergone heart surgery. And as a result of that assault, Wood was hit with a lawsuit. The city of McCall was hit with a lawsuit, and he was let go from his position in McCall. So he drifted south from McCall. He eventually found a job with the Adams County Sheriff's Office that became a full-time position. Notwithstanding his history of abusive violence, Wood was given a job that placed him and Deputy Rowland in a position to kill, if not to murder, there's a legal distinction there that has to be remembered, an innocent man who was there to help them. They retained their tax victim subsidized jobs for months thereafter, and even now that neither of them is formally employed by Adams County, they're still being protected from public scrutiny. They are, of course, beneficiaries of qualified immunity, which, for all intents and purposes, amounts to impunity. That is to say that they're beyond punishment when they're carrying out their official functions. Not only do they benefit from that protection, they're also being protected from public criticism and scrutiny in large measure, I believe, because if they were made vulnerable to public scrutiny and public criticism, they would have every incentive to say things about the prevailing circumstances in the Adams County government that would be injurious to the political elite that they had served. They're being protected at the expense of the public in order to protect the secrets of the corrupt elite that had employed them. In the state's hierarchy of concerns, citizen safety always comes last. Citizen safety is always trumped by officer safety, and officer safety is, I suppose, a subset of elite security. At some point, if these two people, Rowland and Wood, become a liability of significant magnitude, eventually they will be left twisting in the wind by the people that had employed them. It's pretty clear to me that the reason why Brian Wood is no longer employed as a deputy is the fact that 4 days before his last day at Adams County, the Idaho Statesman tardily reported a story that would have been the 28th of August that I had reported 27 days earlier regarding the fact that Wood, during December and January, immediately following the killing of Yantis, had become an active threat to other law enforcement officers. This fact was withheld from the public because public safety was simply not part of the calculations of interest that mattered. He was seen as somebody who might become a lethal threat to his comrades in the state's punitive priesthood. Elaborate precautions were taken to protect the safety of other police officers, but the public at large was kept in the dark about the fact that Wood was, in the assessment of a good friend and comrade, an armed sociopath capable of murdering fellow police officers. That he had already killed an innocent citizen was of little consequence. Suddenly he was a threat to people that the state, if you wish to personify that abstraction, took an interest in and was concerned about. In a way, this reminds me a great deal of what happened with the LAPD in early 2013, when a renegade ex-LAPD officer by the name of Christopher Dorner shot and killed two of his former comrades and then published a manifesto detailing the extravagant corruption of the LAPD and speaking at great length and in some detail about his intent to wreak havoc and extract vengeance on that institution. The public at large went about its business, notwithstanding the fact that a rogue cop was on the loose, because Dorner made it clear that he wasn't interested in targeting the public. The only targets that mattered to him were people with whom he had been serving in the state's apparatus of coercion. And for that reason, the entire LAPD, starting with, of course, its top-ranking officers, seized up in a fit of ass-paralyzing panic. In the course of pursuing Christopher Dorner, the LAPD injured several innocent people. They didn't particularly care about the fact that their own actions made them an even greater risk than usual to the public they supposedly served. The only thing that mattered was taking out somebody who had, until relatively recently, been part of their own rank and file, somebody who had been invested with the privilege of killing at discretion. Suddenly, when that skill set and that grant of supposed authority was directed at them, they recognized what a risk a police officer can be. I think a similar calculation has been made with respect to Brian Wood and perhaps with respect to Cody Rowland, who may or may not be the same type of a personality. And I will have a great deal more to say about this when I return. This is Will Grigg with Freedom's Other Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Stand by for more sedition after this. A co-worker of one of two sheriff's deputies who killed Adams County rancher Jack Antis last November told state investigators in January that he thought the deputy's behavior and mental state 2 months after the shooting threatened his and others' safety, began an August 28th feature story in the Idaho Statesman. This is substantively the same story I reported 27 days earlier. There are some additional details that reflect the fact that the Statesman, unlike myself, has the ability to get people to return phone calls. They have sufficient throw weight, if you will, in the local media that they can command some degree of respect from people within various government agencies. It's a state-centric and state-aligned media platform, unlike my blog. There are some additional details in this story that are worthy of our attention. Adams County Sheriff's Lieutenant Steve Phillips told Idaho State Police detectives that he was frightened by Deputy Brian Wood's comments, actions, and expert marksmanship, and that he feared for his life and his family's. Phillips, a seasoned law enforcement officer, said he ultimately left both his job in Adams County to distance himself from Wood. In late December and January, Wood contemplated suicide and threatened to shoot any law enforcement officers who tried to take his gun or detain him, Phillips told the detectives on January 22nd. At this point, it's appropriate to take note of the fact that my friend Matthew Townsend was arrested almost at midnight on a Friday night, the purpose being to hold him over the weekend, because of something he had posted on Facebook that was taken as a threat of witness intimidation against a City of Meridian police officer named Richard Brockbank. All that Townsend wrote, was that he wanted Brockbank to testify truthfully regarding a previous arrest, and that if he didn't testify truthfully and the charge of jaywalking or resisting arrest were not dropped, then Matthew Townsend would organize peaceful and lawful protest of the abuse that he had suffered at the hands of Brockbank. This was taken as an act of felonious witness intimidation, and he was arrested on a Friday night, and he would have lost his job if his mother hadn't bailed him out later that morning, because he had to go to work at 5 or 6, and if he hadn't shown up for work, he would have lost his job. That's what happened with somebody who is a mere mundane, who protested being abused by a police officer on his Facebook page. Brian Wood was threatening to murder fellow law enforcement officers, and he was left at large to menace the public at large. In late December and January, Wood contemplated suicide and threatened to shoot any law enforcement officers who tried to take his gun or detain him, Phillips told detectives on January 22nd. He's one of those guys that if he goes off his rocker, he's going to be something to handle, Phillips said. Phillips' concerns led the Ada County Sheriff's Office to alert local law enforcement officers that Wood posed a possible threat. The Ada County Sheriff's Office, by the way, is the agency that carried out the after-dark arrest of Matthew Townsend on a Friday night because of innocuous and legally protected comments he made on his Facebook page. No incidents involving Wood were reported then or since. The Idaho Statesman obtained a transcript of the detective's interview with Phillips through an open records request. Actually, I obtained a transcript of that interview by looking at the material that the Idaho Attorney General's office has already made public. It's toward the end of the 900 and, if I remember correctly, 64-page collection of documents generated during the investigation. The transcript and subsequent claims by Phillips and Wood tell a complicated tale of friends turned adversaries. Finding the truth is difficult because Phillips, Wood, and other authorities will say little on the record. But Phillips' interview with ISP made clear that he and some other Idaho law enforcement officers considered Wood dangerous, at least temporarily. In a Facebook post in May, Wood called Phillips' statements slander and lies. Wood filed a tort claim in May that said Phillips was motivated by a personal agenda that included a romantic interest in Wood's wife. I will insert at this point that according to the story told by Phillips, the two couples, Phillips is married, the two couples were very close, and the wives of the two officers were very close friends, and that his wife, Phillips' wife, had rebuked him for not intervening on behalf of her friend because she was concerned that Wood might very well beat up or kill his wife. At one point, she said, "You've got to stop thinking about this like a friend, and you've got to start thinking about this like a law enforcement officer." The problem was, in my estimation, he was thinking about it like a law enforcement officer, that Phillips was upholding the principle of blue privilege rather than thinking in terms of the threat that Wood posed to his family, by his own estimation. Lieutenant Phillips' statements were malicious and made with purposeful intent to harm Brian Wood's reputation, said the tort claim filed by Wood's attorney against Adams County. A tort claim is a precursor required by state law before filing a lawsuit against a county or government agency. Wood's claim said Adams County failed to act to protect Brian Wood's rights. Those comments were made in the course of what at the time was a confidential interview with the Idaho State Police. They're not public record at the time they're made. They became public record after they were released, disgorged, if you will, by the Idaho Attorney General's office. Wood did not respond to statesman questions about why he believed Phillips had a romantic interest in his wife. That's because he was almost certainly lying about that. Wood's wife and Phillips, who now works in Elmore County, did not respond to repeated requests for comment. Adams County did not respond to Wood's tort claim within 90 days, leaving him free to sue. And I certainly hope that suit proceeds because it will generate disclosures that are necessary. And did not respond to a statesman request last week for comment. Wood and fellow deputy Cody Rowland shot and killed Yantis on the highway next to his ranch on November 1st under circumstances I've described previously. Prosecutors said last month that there was insufficient evidence to charge them. That, of course, is a lie. There was ample evidence to indict them. Neither deputy reportedly will return to their jobs. Part of the conflict between Phillips and Wood can be traced to a bulletin sent to law enforcement agencies statewide last winter. The bulletin, quote, "If cops get involved, shots will be fired." On January 22nd, the day Idaho State Police interviewed Phillips, the Ada County Sheriff's Office sent an Officer Safety Extra Patrol bulletin to its deputies and other police agencies. The bulletin said Wood's in-laws, who live in Ada County, requested extra police patrol due to statements from Wood that they are not safe. It added, according to Adams County Sheriff's Office, Brian Wood has become increasingly unstable in recent weeks. During a conversation with the Adams County Sheriff's Office, Wood advised if cops get involved, shots will be fired. That's something that Phillips had disclosed to the investigators from the Idaho State Police. Such bulletins are intended for law enforcement use and not the public. Because law enforcement is more important. Because only blue lives matter, if you will. But this bulletin was leaked and posted on social media in May. Adams County Sheriff Ryan Zolman said then that a lieutenant on his command staff had contacted the Ada County Sheriff's Office in January, but was not acting as a representative of my office. Zolman did not name Phillips, and that's because in the course of that interview, Phillips made it clear that Sheriff Zolman didn't have a, quote, f***ing clue as to what he was doing. I'll be back in a minute.
New images of fugitive Christopher Dorner taken by surveillance cameras. The trouble is, they were not taken today. This was 2 weeks ago in Irvine, not far from where Monica Kwan and her fiancé Keith Lawrence were murdered last Sunday. The last photos taken of Dorner before he disappeared. Signs like these, armed and dangerous, are on every freeway here in Southern California. Police hoping that someone will spot him, but so far, no one has. The last tangible clue where Dorner might be, the burnt-out hulk of his truck near Big Bear Lake, but no body inside, and footsteps leading away. How far away? That's the question.
It is to be expected that a profession that involves the discretionary use of aggressive violence is going to attract people inclined toward violence who most likely are susceptible to other personality deformities. That appears to be the case with Brian Wood. It shouldn't surprise us, given what he and Cody Rowland did to Jack Yantas. Lieutenant Steve Phillips, who had been his colleague at the Adams County Sheriff's Office and had known him since the Post Academy, apparently discerned that in Wood, albeit tardily. The Statesman reports the transcript of Steve Phillips' interview with the Idaho State Police following the Yantas shooting shows that Phillips at first thought Wood was struggling as a result of the Yantas shooting, but later concluded that problems in his friend's marriage contributed. Phillips, 43, recounted what transpired over several days in late December when he and his wife tried to help Wood, 32, and his wife, who Phillips said were struggling with escalating marital issues and Wood's suicide threats. Here's what Phillips told investigators. Phillips met Wood while both were attending the Idaho Peace Officers and Standards Training Academy in Meridian. Post-training records show that both deputies attended Basic Academy in June 2010. That would have been a couple of years after a post-graduating academy's class motto was, "Don't suffer from PTSD, go out and cause some." All state and local law enforcement officers must be certified through POST. I should point out that the recollection regarding the class motto at the Post Academy was my interpolation. The Idaho Statesman didn't bother to report that fact, which I consider germane. The men and their wives became good friends after Wood joined the Adams County Sheriff's Office, where Phillips worked in June 2013. Wood was hired as a part-time Marine deputy in Hell's Canyon and became a full-time deputy 3 months later. Phillips ranked higher than Wood, but did not directly supervise him. Actually, as I pointed out in my story on August 1st, Phillips had appointed Wood as a firearms instructor at the Adams County Sheriff's Office. Late in December, nearly 2 months after the Yantas shooting, Wood's father called Phillips and said his son had contemplated suicide. He asked Phillips to reach out to him. Phillips did. "At this point in time, I think it's the stress from the shooting," Phillips told the detectives. "I've been through shootings. I understand that. Brian's not one to deal with that stress at all." Phillips met Wood in McCall and said they sat until 4:30 in the morning talking. Phillips learned that Wood was dealing with more than the stress from the shooting. Marital problems led to Wood and his wife agreeing to separate for a week. Phillips said he, too, heard Wood say he was thinking of taking his life. Phillips said he went without sleep over the next 3 days as he tried to help his friend. He said Wood threatened him twice when Phillips said official law enforcement involvement might be needed to keep Wood and others safe. "Brian made it very clear that if he loses his guns, there'll be gunplay," Phillips said. "I know enough about Brian's abilities that I'm not taking any chances with it." Phillips said he gave Wood two options: go with Phillips and talk to Wood's father, or option B is, "I'm going to handle this law enforcement way. I'm going to get an endangerment hold on you." Under Idaho law, the statesman points out, officers may take mentally unstable people into protective custody if they pose a threat to themselves or others. Wood then turned in his seat and squared off with me and stuck his hand down by his gun, Phillips said. He says, there will be gunfire if we go that route. Now, if Wood had been an ordinary citizen, a common, routine member of the tax victim class, and he had made that threat, he would be dead today. There's little doubt about it. Given the fact that this is a regime here in the state of Idaho, and in Ada County specifically, that will barge into people's homes after dark and arrest them because of innocuous comments that they made on their Facebook pages, criticizing law enforcement. If the subject of that arrest is not a member of the punitive caste, it stands to reason that somebody, not a police officer making that type of a threat, would probably be the subject of a SWAT raid. That was contemplated in the case of Brian Wood, but that was never carried out. Phillips backed off and told Wood they would go talk with Wood's father, and he reiterated that there would be gunfire if there's any law enforcement action whatsoever. Phillips and Wood met with Wood's father, and Wood agreed to see a counselor, a police chaplain in the Seattle area. Wood, his father, and Phillips went to Washington State. Phillips said he sat in on Wood's 8-hour counseling session on December 30th and returned to Idaho with Wood the next day. Phillips' wife stayed with Wood's wife in Idaho while their husbands were in Washington State. On December 31st, while the men were on their way home, Phillips' wife accompanied Wood's wife to Washington to see the same counselor. Phillips said he cautioned Wood on December 31st not to harm another person. That was the second time that he squared up with me, and his hand went down toward his gun, and he's got a 1,000-yard stare in his eyes. Phillips contacted his bosses, Sheriff Zolman and Undersheriff Jeff Brown, and told them about his interactions with Wood. They're in way over their head with this, and they have no clue what to do, Phillips told the Idaho State Police detectives. Phillips said Zolman told him, I'm going to fail you because I have no idea what to do about this. Phillips said he gave Zolman a detailed written report. Zolman confirmed to the statesman that Phillips came to him and submitted a report. He declined to comment further, citing pending litigation. One point that they do not report in the statesman is that Phillips said in his interview with the ISP that Zolman had tried to get him to redact his report. That is to say, either to obscure or to delete germane facts regarding the threat that Wood posed to his wife, and presumably to the public at large, and that Phillips, to his considerable credit, declined to do so. Phillips also reached out to another friend of Wood's, McCall Police Officer Josh Johnson. Wood had worked at the McCall Police Department in 2010 and 11 until he was fired after poaching an elk. Since Wood still lived in McCall, Phillips thought McCall police should know that Wood had said there would be gunplay if any officer approached him. Johnson and Phillips compared notes about Wood's mental state and both concluded that there was cause to be concerned about Wood's emotional stability. Johnson shared his concerns with his chief, Justin Williams. Williams then called Phillips to say he agreed they should be concerned. Williams confirmed to the statesman that he spoke with Phillips about Wood. I did contact ISP with the information Phillips had provided, Williams said. I recommended to ISP that they offer counseling to Wood through his attorney because he had refused to speak to them at that time. Williams said he could not comment further because of possible litigation. Johnson could not be reached for comment. Phillips also provided his report to the Valley County Sheriff's Office in Cascade. McCall is part of Valley County. He and his wife also took Wood's wife to talk to the Valley County Sheriff's Office to make a statement. Valley County Sheriff's Office spokesman Sergeant Jason Spear confirmed to the statesman that the office received Phillips' report and talked to Wood's wife. He declined to comment further. Phillips said he became concerned for his personal safety when Wood told him there would be gunfire if someone came for Wood's guns, or if Wood lost his job or got in trouble. Phillips said he is an accomplished marksman who has scored well in national shooting competitions, but Wood is better and owns some of the best sniper equipment on the market. He is an advanced, skilled sniper, Phillips told the investigators. I sent him to the FBI Academy. By the way, he sent him to the FBI Academy because, as I had mentioned previously, Phillips had made him a firearms instructor for the Adams County Sheriff's Office. I sent him to the FBI Academy, their advanced sniper school, and he came out top shot. This guy's freaking good. He's young, he's fast. Phillips said he had worked in the Middle East as part of a counterterrorism team and is not easily intimidated. Nonetheless, he went home, and he and his wife packed some bags and left. Because Wood was still at large. The public wasn't informed of this. Because I live in the canyon, everything around me is high ground, he told ISP. My house is approachable from all sides, and it's all uphill. If we get a call to deal with Brian in a law enforcement manner, we best take it freaking seriously, okay? He's got explosives, he's got guns out the ass, this guy can pick a lock like nobody's business. An ISP detective told Phillips, yeah, you don't have to convince me, this story is not falling on deaf ears, believe me. Except for the officer safety bulletin, it's not clear what, if any, actions law enforcement agencies took in response to Phillips' interview, or his response to the Adams and Valley County Sheriffs. 1 month after being interviewed by the Idaho State Police and talking to the Ada County Sheriff's Office, Phillips resigned from Adams County and joined the Elmar County Sheriff's Office in Mountain Home. In other words, he got out of Adams County. He was concerned for his safety and the safety of his family. That's because he knew the threat that Wood represented, and the public was kept in the dark because, once again, the safety of the public doesn't factor into policy decisions of this kind. I'll be back in a minute. He's starting to fit the pattern of a sociopath, said McCall Police Officer Josh Johnson about Brian Wood, at the time a deputy with the Adams County Sheriff's Office, in a conversation with Lieutenant Stephen Phillips of the Adams County Sheriff's Office. This disclosure was made during the interview that Phillips gave to two Idaho State Police investigators after the November 1st killing of Jack Yantis, in which Brian Wood was involved. And that interview, for those who are interested in reading the whole thing, except for the rather generous redacted portions, can be found beginning at page 802 of the 928-page compilation of reports and interviews that have been released regarding the Jack Yantis shooting and its investigation by the Idaho Attorney General's office. Phillips, in the course of that interview, referred to the fact that he had made Woods a firearms instructor at the Adams County Sheriff's Office, and that his wife had become close friends with Wood's now estranged spouse. Following the shooting, Wood had become separated from his wife and appeared to descend into something resembling a psychosis. On several occasions, Phillips told the Idaho State Police Wood suggested he was going to hurt himself. He goes back and forth on either going to another country or killing himself. That's a detail that the Statesman did not report in their August 28th story, dealing with the same disclosures made by Lieutenant Phillips. In at least one of those instances, Phillips recounted, Wood indicated that he was no longer interested in fleeing to Latin America, but was talking about blowing himself up. This December 29th conversation took place in Phillips' pickup truck, worried that Wood was an incipient murder-suicide. Phillips told him that I'm going to handle this the law enforcement way. We're going to go ahead and get an endangerment hold on you. At this point, Wood literally turned in his seat and squared off with me and stuck his hand down by his gun. He says, there will be gunfire if we go this route. That was not the first time, nor was it the last time, that Wood threatened to murder fellow law enforcement officers. He also reportedly threatened to kill the family's dogs, according to Phillips. Yet Phillips and other officers allowed him free rein, which left Phillips' wife horrified that the preservation of Wood's blue privilege might have lethal consequences for his wife, who was also her close friend. You need to stop looking at this as a friend helping a friend and start looking at this as a cop His wife chastised him, according to Philip's own account. Of course, as I pointed out earlier, the problem was precisely that Phillips was acting like a cop, placing his loyalty to the Blue Tribe above other considerations. Certainly he wasn't acting as a peace officer seeking to protect the innocent public, and this might explain why his wife revised her admonition to the following: stop looking at this as a buddy helping a buddy, or a fellow cop helping a fellow cop. That line is, I contend, a disclosure against the personal interest of Lieutenant Phillips, which is one of the reasons why I'm inclined to credit his version of events, rather than believing that Wood was innocently maligned, as he pretends to have been, in his tort claim against Adams County for supposedly being defamed. As Phillips discussed this matter with McCall Police Officer Josh Johnson and with the police chief Justin Williams, both agreed that Wood was displaying sociopathic tendencies. That's not something that the statesmen saw fit to report. They had identified him as a sociopath, an armed sociopath with elite skills as a sniper and access to weapons and explosives. Contingency plans were made to carry out a major operation involving several agencies: the Adams County Sheriff's Office, the Valley County Sheriff's Office, the Ada County Sheriff's Office, the McCall Police Department, in the event that Wood, quote, loses his job or loses his guns. That also is something the statesman did not see fit to report. They were planning a multi-jurisdictional, multi-agency SWAT raid in order to deal with this fellow if he were deemed to be an immediate threat to the safety of law enforcement officers. The public was not made aware of this. Deputy Wood, who claims that he was trained by the Navy SEALs, had pointedly mentioned to Phillips that his home was situated atop a hill with a commanding view of every possible approach. He also possessed some exceptional, possibly the best on the market sniper equipment, Phillips said, down to a $9,000 night vision scope. Somebody who's making $18 an hour isn't going to be able to pay for a $9,000 night vision scope. I'm willing to bet that night vision scope and other assets possessed by Wood as part of his elite arsenal was probably provided through the 1033 program to Adams County. There's law enforcement militarization at work, almost certainly. All of this was known to the Idaho State Police, to the FBI, which was investigating the case, and the Idaho Attorney General's office. And this is why an officer safety bulletin was quietly issued on January 22nd, but the public was not made aware that a heavily armed, taxpayer-subsidized sociopath was on the loose. Wood had killed a senior citizen, a 62-year-old rancher is a senior citizen. He had severely beaten another, and he had explicitly threatened to kill fellow police officers, let us not forget. But he was never taken into custody, most likely because that was considered to be an unacceptable risk to that most important of all considerations, officer safety. As I had mentioned previously, Phillips had defied Sheriff Zolman's demand that he redact his report regarding Wood's threat to his family and to his fellow officers. The sheriff, who was paying Brian Wood's salary and that of Deputy Cody Rowland, wanted this to be removed from the record. Phillips told investigators, "I'm not redacting." He told them that my sheriff and undersheriff are good guys, but they don't have an expletive clue as to how to do their job. They're in way over their head, and they have no clue what to do, and that much should be screamingly obvious to any censured observer. Now, bearing in mind Deputy Phillips' concern that Wood might go on a killing spree if he lost his job, I think it's worth asking, did that possibility color the Attorney General's conclusions about whether to prosecute Wood and Rowland? Did this sacred responsibility to protect the lives of police officers who might be killed in a confrontation with Wood play a role in the decision to clear him, thereby allowing him to resume his career, albeit briefly, as a state-licensed menace to the hapless residents of Adams County? And now that he no longer has his job, he has become a gypsy cop who is entirely qualified now to be employed by a jurisdiction most likely outside the state of Idaho. There are two tort claims pending against Adams County. One was filed by the widow and family of Jack Yantas, who was killed without legal cause or justification by Brian Wood and Cody Rowland. The other was filed by one of the killers, who claims that the Adams County government and the sheriff's office had an institutional responsibility to protect his reputation. To continue now with the Statesman story. 1 month after being interviewed by the Idaho State Police and talking to the Ada County Sheriff's Office, Phillips resigned from Adams County and joined the Elmore County Sheriff's Office in Mountain Home. The Statesman repeatedly asked Wood about the statements Phillips made to at least five law enforcement agencies about Wood's behavior. Wood declined to discuss them. There is pending litigation regarding former Lieutenant Phillips in this matter, so I am not currently able to discuss his statements, Wood told the Statesman on August 19th via Facebook. By the way, that's more than 2 weeks after I had originally reported the story. To continue, after last spring's media reports about the Officer Safety Bulletin, Wood's attorney, Kevin Dinius of Nampa, who works with the Fraternal Order of Police, naturally, filed a tort claim with Adams County on May 6th. It read in part, on or about January 22nd, 2016, the Ada County Sheriff's Office issued an officer safety bulletin based on statements made by Lieutenant Steve Phillips of the Adams County Sheriff's Department regarding Brian Wood's mental disposition. Lieutenant Phillips knew his statements were false. Lieutenant Phillips' malicious false statements were motivated by his own personal agenda in romantically pursuing Brian Wood's wife. Brian Wood's claims arise from the Adams County Sheriff's Department and/or Adams County's negligent and/or intentional failure to protect Brian Wood's rights. Dinius declined to comment on the claims, assertions, or Wood's plans to sue. Wood posted on May 8th to his Facebook page, "My natural response to slander is to be angry at the person who made up the lies and to defend myself by getting the truth out." It should be pointed out that the Officer Safety Bulletin was not made public until it was leaked and posted to social media. To continue now from Deputy Wood's tantrum on Facebook. The man who fabricated the information in the law enforcement bulletin lost his job a couple weeks later. Apparently he resigned, he wasn't fired. And the man who published the bulletin to the internet was arrested by the FBI the very same day. The second man Wood mentioned, the Statesman reports, might have been Michael Emery in Oregon, whom the FBI arrested on May 5th on weapons charges related to a group's occupation last fall of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Nothing in Emery's charging documents connects his arrest to the Wood Post, and Zolman told the Statesman in May no one lost their job over this incident, meaning the disclosure of the officer safety bulletin. The tort claim said Wood would seek damages in excess of $400,000 from Adams County. I find myself irresistibly reminded once again of what happened with Christopher Dorner in Los Angeles in 2013, when he went on a killing spree that was targeted almost exclusively at the Los Angeles Police Department, and also presumably at the county government and the prosecutor's office, after he had lost his job. In their eagerness to protect themselves, the police put the public at risk with indiscriminate shootings of vehicles that superficially resembled vehicles that might have been driven by Dorner. If police are reduced to puddles of panic at the thought of dealing with one of their own, why should the public trust them, or for that matter, countenance their institutional existence at all? Thank you for joining me this week on Freedom Zealot Radio. Please join me online at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I will return in a week, and until then, as always, dum spirito pugno, while I breathe, I fight. Good night, God bless, and may we send the state back to the hell that spawned it.
What do you want to do now, Captain?
The same thing we always do. Fight them until we can't.